Hello, and welcome to episode 12 of the Bible Q&A with Pastor Stephen. My name is Stephen Pace, and I'm the senior pastor at Decatur Bible Church in Decatur, Michigan. This podcast attempts to answer Bible questions in a clear but thorough manner. If you would like to have a Bible-related question considered for a future episode, you can email me at pastorstephendbc@gmail.com. Again, that's Pastor, Stephen, DBC, at gmail.com. In this episode, we're going to be looking at three Bible questions. So grab your Bible and let's get started. Now, the first question for this episode is, are there any Bible passages that give advice on making decisions or decision-making? This question originates from the idea of course, we all have decisions in life that we need to make, and does the Bible give us any guidance on making decisions? And the answer is yes, it does give us in some instructions on that. Let's turn to, if you have your Bibles, James chapter 1 and verse 5. James chapter 1 and verse 5, James says, "But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him." Such a great verse there. You see that if any of us lacks wisdom, wisdom, we think of knowledge, but knowledge that is applied is a way to think of wisdom. So if any of us lack knowledge and need to apply that knowledge, James says that we need to ask the Lord. And so instead of looking for many external things, whether they be worldly or any other type of advice, we should seek the Lord's advice first. But you'll also notice that in the verse here that we need to go, in a sense, confidently. The Lord gives generously, and he does so without reproach. Which is always good to know. And he says he will give wisdom to us. Charles Ryrie in the Ryrie Study Bible says, "God gives wisdom abundantly and graciously when we ask." So obviously the Lord may not answer us in the way that we want, but in many ways that's the point. The point is to go to the Lord who has all wisdom, all power, all knowledge. And rather than seeking instruction from the world, the Word of God says we go to the Lord and he gives us counsel, if you will. But let's look at a few others as well. Psalm 119 and verse 10 says, "With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments." There we see the psalmist indicating that we seek the Lord with our hearts, but we also want to stay in alignment with his commandments, in other words, the instructions of the Word of God. There's also a few others. Psalm 32 and verse 8, Psalm 73 verse 24, and then in Proverbs, there's a good bit of instruction there. But we'll conclude with Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6. This is a well-known set of verses here, Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. And you see where Solomon speaks of the benefits, the blessings of wisdom, of course, when it's obtained as well as when it's applied. But in Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." So you see there that, again, you have the similarity with the 119, verse 105 psalm, where we are to trust in the Lord with the heart, and then not look to our judgments, our ways of doing things, but instead look to the Lord to guide us, and he will clear out and make the paths straight for us and lead us into his plan for our lives as well as his righteousness. So the answer to the question, are there any Bible passages that give advice on making decisions. And we see James 1:5, Psalm 119, verse 105, as well as the other three mentioned. And so we see the instruction from the Word of God is that we ask via prayer, God guides us, and then we trust Him as we seek His direction for our lives. And so I think that's a pretty basic way of approaching it. We go to the Lord first. We do so via prayer. We look to His Word. His Word guides us, instructs us, reinforces the need to go to Him in prayer. But then lastly, we have to trust that the Lord knows best. He knows better than we do. And then we go in the direction He leads us, and we'll never go wrong. Now for question number two, this is a trivia question. Were the Ten Commandments written on the front side of the tablets, or were they written on both sides? So again, the question is, in regards to the Ten Commandments, were they written on the front side only of the tablets, or were they written on both sides? I want you to turn with me to Exodus 32. Exodus chapter 32 and verse 15, so that we can answer that question. In Exodus 32, verse 15, it reads, "Then Moses turned and went down from the mountain with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand." Now, the tablets of his testimony are encompassing, of course, the Ten Commandments. But let's keep going, and it says there that tablets which were written on both sides, they were written on one side and the other. So there's the answer to the question in Exodus 32:15, that the Ten Commandments, the two tablets of testimony, as they're referred to there, they were written on both sides. So that's the answer to that question. But I'm going to read something for you here. It's from the Jeremiah Study Bible. It says, quote, "The two tablets of the testimony refer to the Ten Commandments. We know now that both tablets had all Ten Commandments on them. When ancient nations made treaties, the stipulations were entered onto two original documents, with each party taking one home to its temple for observation by their gods," lowercase g there. "Continuing on, for Israel, the two complete tablets would stay together as a sign of their belief in one God." So there's the answer to that question again. Were the Ten Commandments on the tablets, were they written on the front side or both sides? And we see in Exodus 32:15 that the answer to that trivia question is, of course, both sides. Now for our third and final question, in Revelation 13:11, it mentions another beast. What or who is this referring to? So again, in Revelation 13:11, it mentions, quote, "another beast," end quote. Who or what is that referring to? So if you have your Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 13, where we find ourselves is in the tribulation period, the future 70th week of Daniel, the last, if you will, of the weeks there, and the future tribulation period. But in Revelation chapter 13, I want you to start, though, with not the verse that is mentioned with the question, which is verse 11, but back in chapter 13, verse 1, and it says, "And the dragon stood on the sand of the seashore," or the sea. So the first thing we see there is that the dragon is related to, or equivalent, you could say, to Satan. Now, if we keep reading, notice, "Then I saw a beast coming up out of the sea." So one of the things in Revelation is, of course, sometimes the scenes are in heaven, sometimes the scenes are on earth. Here, John is progressively seeing a vision of something here on earth. First, he sees what we know as the Satan, the dragon, and he stands on the seashore. But then he saw a beast who comes up out of the sea, having 10 horns, 7 heads, and on his horns were 10 diadems, and on his heads were blasphemous names, and so forth. Now, a couple of things with this. The imagery there, the descriptions, that comes from Daniel chapter 7. If you were to go back and look at Daniel chapter 7, you'll see the 10 horns, the 7 heads, and etc. that you also see mentioned down in verse 2, the leopard, the bear, and the lion. And so you see that Satan, of course, is seen there as the dragon, but then the beast arises. The beast there is Antichrist, and we see that he is coming up out of the sea there, and you see that there is Antichrist descriptions that we go through this. Now, having said all that, you'll notice in verse 11 it says, and this is where the question is prompted from, and it's a good question. It says, and you notice again it's progressive. The one thing about Revelation is that is helpful is that John describes things, not always, but oftentimes in progression. So in other words, he says, and I saw the dragon, then I saw a beast. And again, it's a beast. But then in verse 11, it says, then I, so again, it's progressive, then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. This reference in Revelation 13:11 is to what is called, and who is called, the false prophet. If you've ever heard that before, that is who this is referring to. And so you see the unholy trinity, as it's sometimes mentioned there, Satan, verse 1. In the second sentence of verse 1 of Revelation 13, you have Antichrist. And then the answer to the question, who is the other beast? The other beast is the false prophet. Now, it's curious. In Greek, another means another of the same kind. And, of course, he speaks like a dragon, like Satan, something ferocious, if you will. There's also another mention of him in Revelation 19 in verse 20. And so there we see that there is the differentiation between Satan, Antichrist, and the false prophet. Now, one thing to note about the false prophet is, of course, he is distinct. He has some distinct features and things that he does. For example, in verse 13 of Revelation chapter 13, so after he's introduced in verse 11, in verse 13, we see where he performs many miracles. You'll also notice in verses 14 and 15 that he animates the image of the beast. In verse 15, he also issues a death sentence to those who disobey Antichrist. I like to think of the false prophet in many ways as the right-hand man, you could say. But then another thing he does is that he is involved with the mark of the beast system. You see that in verses 16 and 17. I'm going to read to you something from Mark Hitchcock's book, The End. If you're interested in prophetic scriptures and an overview, he has a book. It's called The End, Mark Hitchcock, A Complete Overview of Bible Prophecy and the End Days. Really good book, very easy to understand, but also has a lot of good meat to it. But I'm going to read from chapter 21, The Final False Prophet. He says, Hitchcock does, the Antichrist, however, will not rise to power alone. Revelation 13, 11 through 18 introduces a second beast that comes up out of the earth, also known as the false prophet. He will serve as the lieutenant for the Antichrist, preparing the way and capitulating him to power and unparalleled success. Using stunning miracles, signs, and wonders, the false prophet will convince the world that the Antichrist is the leader they've been looking for, the man with the plan, the man who can solve the world's problems. It's a good summary there, Mark Hitchcock, referring to the false prophet, who is the other beast of Revelation 13:11. Now, before we finish this question, let me point something out to you, and it's similar to the reference of Revelation 19:20, which is what is ultimately the destiny of Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. I believe sometimes we can get discouraged on some of the prophetic scriptures, especially dealing with some of these topics, but in the end, what is the destiny of those three? And Revelation chapter 20, verse 10 tells us, "And the devil who deceived them and was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are also, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever." In the end, the Lord Jesus Christ will prevail at his second coming, and we will know as well from the scriptures that he will bring forth the millennial kingdom and enter and usher us into the new heavens and the new earth one day. And so while he, meaning the false prophet, can do all these things and will do all these things, his time is certainly short, and praise the Lord, we can rest assured that the Lord ultimately will triumph over him. And a good reminder for us with the prophetic scriptures that even though there's some difficult, dark times in it, there's always the hope, and the hope is that the Lamb triumphs, the Lamb Jesus Christ does, and he'll rule forever. Well, this concludes episode 12. Thank you for taking time to join us, and until the next episode, may the Lord be with you, and God bless.